This episode is brought to you in partnership with Supply Chain Manitoba and the Manitoba Trucking Association, working together to support workforce development and a stronger future for the industry here in Manitoba.
Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubinek.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to Move Rural Canada. And today we have Jody Romano, Director of Human Resources with Ritz Machine Works. And she has been with Ritz for over a little year and a half. She has an accounting background, but made the transition to this position of HR because she found it to be a growing company with so much going on that she wanted to be a part of it. Ritz employs 58 people here in Canada and close to 40 people at their facility in Cambridge, Minnesota, in the United States. They are a tube bending production facility that produces OEM parts for companies such as New Flyer, Nova Bus, Bueller, McDonough, and many other companies across North America. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We have mentioned that you come from the community of Dauphin. Maybe tell us a little bit about the community and if you want to kind of dive into that and the place your company is located in, as well as where all the people in your company live and work.
All right. So Ritz Machine Works was established back in 1998 by two gentlemen, Rick Hilniski and Tom Zapperzan. So the RI and the TZ is actually what makes up Ritz, and that is from the owner's name. So they started 27 years ago with a handful of workers and set up shop in the facility that we are still in today, which is an old cheese factory located in Dauphin, Manitoba. So it used to be the Manco cheese factory. So they have now filled it with, they started out with just a few machines, and then they've grown and have added on to our building here in Dauphin, have expanded to house our laser machine and the raw goods. So, and then a while back, they expanded and started a production facility in Cambridge, Minnesota. So we do have a U.S. Facility and then also the facility here in Dauphin. Most of our employees live here in Dauphin. Some commute in from smaller communities around Dauphin, like Ethelbert, Winnipegosis, St. Rose. We find people from all over. We try and hire within the area, sometimes with some positions that we're needing to be filled. We definitely look outside of the Parkland area to bring in, to fill positions of that more technical level.
So you have, just following up on that, you've got positions from entry level to that more advanced piece then?
Absolutely. So we have positions that aren't necessarily requiring high school. We look for, say, our production worker entry level positions on our production floor. We look for the knowledge of tools, the ability to work with hand tools and saws and such, right up to a full engineering degree with your ticket. So, and everything in between, your trades, apprentices, administrative positions. So positions that are requiring more of a diploma or certificate.
And so, you know, I'm going to ask this because I'm the language lady, of course, but, how does it work in terms of language? I know, you know, right now there's, you know, with, you know, immigration being cut, language programs are being cut. Have you noticed that at all in terms of your hiring piece? Is that something you've had to look at? Are there local supports? Do you support your employees? What I guess, yeah, what does the language piece look like in the realm that you're working in?
So what we first do is we try and get new employees that are, say, English is not their first language, to connect with as many places in Dauphin to start learning more English. We've also used translation apps, are fantastic. We also try and provide the literature electronically to our non-English speaking employees so that they take it upon themselves to translate it into their language and learn the processes. Because one thing here at RITS, we are ISO 9001 certified for our quality system. So everything has a process, everything has a document. So the more we can hand off to them so that in their time, they can absorb it, understand it in their language, as they're learning the English language in either at facilities like at the church or regional connections, somewhere where they're learning everyday English, we try and then work with them on production language. So a lot of words we use during the day aren't necessarily words that they would use if they were out grocery shopping or meeting with friends. So we try and give them that time to translate it, the documents. And then also just using other employees that have come from, like, understand their language and have learned more English, we kind of use them to bridge that gap. So we do a lot of checking in and performance reviews and ask them, are you continuing with lessons? How are you doing with the English language? And then just kind of encouraging them, say, sitting at lunchtime to have a conversation with somebody in English, or with their problem solving out on the production floor, the quality department tries to say, okay, we're gonna solve this like step by step, but we're gonna do it, if we need to bring in Google Translate or something to help us, we're gonna work through it in English so that they can kind of start being able to do their work thinking in the English language.
Mm-hmm. And that's great, because I think a lot of times companies don't sort of force that English on. I always say English is like going to the gym. You've got to have someone kind of kicking your butt a little bit to go. You know, everyone, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're always going to try to take the easy way, right? So your first language is always easy. So sometimes, you've got to force it. And so that's good. You've got supportive managers and supervisors who are doing that.
And a big piece of it is the more you move up in the company, the more external contact you have, right? So to move up, you're needing to reach out to suppliers or reach out to customers. And in order to move up the in the organizational chart, we encourage them, like, we want you to learn English because this is going to open up these opportunities of these positions that we have here at RITS.
Mm-hmm. Jody, with your experience and when you're interviewing people now, do you set expectations when you're during the interview? Let's say newcomers are being interviewed and you say, this is our expectations, these are our guidelines, and that's what you expect them to follow?
Yes, we do have that conversation on, I ask, are they currently in an English as a second language program? What are their plans? And then also, like I was saying, the performance reviews, checking in. A lot of them, like, we set goals for the year. So a lot of them, their goal is to continue working, like learning the English language. Some finish their course and they continue on. And then when their performance review comes around, we kind of encourage them, hey, I think it's time, let's get back into that sign up for another English class just to keep that going.
Well, and that's great too that they've got that option. I'm happy to hear they have English classes that they can go to locally, because it's not happening in a lot of places. So you guys are lucky in Dauphin to have that.
Yes, very lucky.
Jody, with your experience and when you're interviewing people now, do you set expectations when you're during the interview? Let's say newcomers are being interviewed and you say, this is our expectations, these are our guidelines, and that's what you expect them to follow?
We have approximately 6 or 7.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we have from our driver that drives for us, lives in Winnipeg, and he just got his citizenship. And we have then he's from Hungary. We have a gentleman from Nigeria, and I would say another 5, if not 6. I think one just was on leave from the Ukraine.
Jody, off the top of your head, and I know we didn't prepare you for this question, but do you know how many newcomers you have in your site in Dauphin?
Yes, absolutely. We do have one that comes to mind is we had a gentleman that started here back in December of 2023, and we quickly realized that this gentleman had amazing work ethic and a lot of skill. You could tell he was learning the English language, but really trying to wrap his mind around what we do at RITS and looking for ways of helping us take a production to the next level. So we have a robotic welder, and we had nobody currently operating it. And he asked to take the manual home with him, learned how to work this robotic welder over the weekend with the manual, came back and is like, I'm ready to go. So we promoted him from production worker to a welding wage because he was able to operate this robotic welder for us and very efficiently. He did that for a while. He mastered that. And then he's like looking around, hey, the machinist, so the manual, the lathe that we've got, he's like, I think I want to get on that machine and learn that. So he got on that and was putting out parts and times that we had not seen in a long time. So very, very efficient. So then he did that for a while. And then now he's a supervisor of an entire department. And so in under 2 years, he went from an entry-level production worker to running his own department. And it was just that he was determined to learn our processes, learn as much as he can. And in that whole thing, we celebrated that he just got his permanent residency. I think it was July or August, he let us know. And so we definitely celebrated him for that also. So yeah, so that was one of our very awesome stories.
Jody, you can really tell that your company rewards people that show initiative.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's what we tell everybody is that if you want to learn, you want to learn our processes, there's opportunity. And it changes every day around here where it's opportunities are always coming up.
That's amazing. And so when you talk about, you mentioned that he just recently got his permanent residency, do you hire people on different pathways then? Like people can come to you on different, I guess, visas and applications. Lindsay, this is probably more of your question, but they don't have to necessarily be a Canadian citizen to come work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do like to have, as long as you're, say, living in Dauphin, we don't necessarily look for people that are not permanent residents that are not in the parkland. So if you are not a permanent resident of Canada, but you live in the parkland, we would always consider what you've got for skills and past work experience and see if you would be a good fit for RITS.
And so I think that also shows,
you know, not only does RITS reward people who are showing initiative, but I know Rick and Tom, the owners, and they love people with work ethic. And they also are really proud of the community of Dauphin and surrounding area. So again, them rewarding people that choose to live and work in rural Manitoba is probably what you guys are doing.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and I think it's an important retention strategy because you want people who are willing to stay and live in rural Manitoba because that's where the work is. And that's another big reason why we have this podcast, because there's so many opportunities to work and do very well in rural areas.
Yes. And we've had people come, like we've brought people in and recruited from, say, from out west, say an engineer or somebody coming off the rigs and moving to Dauphin that had never lived here before, and that they'd come out and tour our facility and look around Dauphin, and they're very surprised that, say, something like us, a production facility industry, is located in Dauphin and everything that we've got to offer here. One thing that when we're recruiting, say, we're trying to make send that message that Dauphin is a place that they would enjoy living, explaining to them about the balance of the arts, sports, recreational, like leisure activities, being so close to the federal park. There's so many things here in Dauphin for people to do. I always ask what their interests are, what their hobbies are, what do they like doing in their spare time, and then always giving them kind of a heads up on, you know, you might want to check out this opportunity or this opportunity, talking about opportunities that they might not have thought of, like volunteer fire department or nonprofits that are in town, like Humane Society and different community clubs that people can get involved in. So I think we've got a little bit of everything for everybody here in Dauphin.
And I think really to be clear too, what's the size of Dauphin right now, around-ish, would you say? Would either of you?
Oh, 8,000. Yeah, I was thinking like 82.
Okay. Yeah, like it's, I think a lot of people too, like I said, and it was interesting. We had another past interview and she made a very good point. You know, different people, depending where they come from, have different interpretations of what rural is. You know, Dauphin isn't 100 people, you know, Dauphin has thousands of people. And there's other places, you know, within an hour, 2 hours too, right? You like, what is Brandon, 2 hours away? If they if they need to get on a flight, you can fly direct from Brandon to other places, you know? So I think a lot of times people think it's all just small little tiny towns and no, like, you know, it's the city of Dauphin, you know, it's a city. And so I think that's really important for people to realize, like, you're not, you know, you're coming to a good sized town with lots of resources and opportunities for people.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a quick question too. So you talk about sort of, and we had this conversation before. So you sort of help people settle locally then, right? In terms of like you give suggestions or if they're first moving here, do you guys help us say like, you know, you could try here if you wanted to buy a house or rent or things like that? Because that's, I think, can be overwhelming as a newcomer if they're not already living in that rent area to find.
Yes. A lot of times it's rentals. It's very hard to find and be able to know the people to talk to be able to find somewhere to stay. Accommodation is probably the biggest challenge. And sometimes people move here with no vehicle. So trying to find something within walking distance or somewhere where we have another employee that lives close by that they can possibly carpool with. The landlords that I've reached out to here in Dauphin have been great at keeping in contact with me. So, you know, we do vouch for people when they come to town and we're trying to find them somewhere to live, even if it's just a temporary for the first 2 to 3 months, and then always knowing that, okay, we're going to find you something closer or something bigger or that would better suit their needs. So I still have landlords that will check in with me, send me a text saying, hey, I've got this unit coming up, if anybody there, or if you have somebody coming in. So that's very much appreciated too.
It's very similar in the job market. And the job market is not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. And it's the same way here in Dauphin and other small communities. It's not, you know, if you can find somewhere to live in the newspaper online, a lot of times people find a place to live based on who they knew.
Yes. And that's another thing is people coming to work and having a spouse or somebody that they're bringing with them saying like, hey, my spouse is a dental assistant or this or that, you know, and giving them places to, you know, talk to this person or sending them, you know, it's not just about getting that our employee in place. It's everything that they need in order to want to stay here in Dauphin, get settled in and stay for the long time, like the long term.
So I would say then, do you factor in that Canadian experience piece at all? Or you're very more on the skills, how they can be transferred? You know, that's a lot of talk I know in Canada right now is people saying that they need a Canadian experience or things like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when it's hard because when somebody say gets their education outside of Canada, we're not 100% sure on like what we call certain things here isn't necessarily what they learn in another country. So when we're looking at education or experience, just reading a resume, we never just make any sort of assumptions. We like to talk about more specifics on, okay, what are some of the projects you worked on at school? Or when you worked here, what were your core responsibilities? Tell us more detail of what you did exactly day to day in order for us to be able to kind of compute that into experience in on the Canadian side, right? So we don't necessarily just say, oh, well, you haven't had a job here in Canada yet. We can't consider you as an applicant. We would consider you, we would just need more of a conversation, more detail on what you have experience in.
And thank you for saying that, because I think you've really nailed it. I don't think in most instances it's really about Canadian experience. It's just about the people who are applying translating that into something that Canadian employers can understand, right? So maybe it's learning the lingo of the industry so that they can better put that in their resume or their interviews and things like that. You know, I think employers, you just want to be comfortable that those experiences translate over it. And it's easier for you to understand if it's in the language that you understand.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I also think our listeners, too, they're coming from a newcomer's perspective. And if you look at it from the employer side, that they're just reading a resume. So in terms of the newcomer, they got to really try to align their experiences a bit better with a Canadian company and what they're looking for. So when the newcomer is writing their resume, they need to look at the job title. And if they use different terminology, perhaps look up Canadian terminology and put that down in exchange for what they would usually say. And that might assist them to, you know, get in front of the employer for an interview.
And so what is your sort of current hiring process? If someone, let's say, listens to this podcast and they're like, I want to apply, what is sort of the process? What would you recommend their next steps are?
So when we are trying to fill a specific position, we usually put it out on sources like Indeed or our social media. And then also we always have we always take in resumes off of our careers page on our website. So ritzmachine.com. So you can go to the careers page and it does say apply now, and people just send in, even if we don't have positions to fill, but that changes from one day to the next. Cause mm-hmm. I know that I had mentioned, I think it was last week, that we didn't have any positions. We just had a meeting today and I've now been tasked to fill two positions for production workers. So but now I'm like, looking through my what I have on file, seeing if anybody had sent anything in new through the website. So I'm constantly bringing in applicants, and then also like we have a huge resume pool that I make notes on. It's all categorized on skill, so that and I'm constantly reviewing them, looking for applicants that would suit whatever position we've got open at the time.
So being in a smaller town, rural area, you know, I'm a big believer, maybe, and I think we're all probably of the same generation, sort of old school, where you were told to like walk in and introduce yourself. You know, what are your thoughts on obviously the online application? Are people able to say call and have a chat, or is it more you prefer the email online, or or connecting with you on LinkedIn, things like that, to sort of add that next level of to remember, you know, remember.
We actually get a lot of walk-ins here. Anybody that comes in, I invite them into my office. If they have a resume on hand, or I have a form for them to fill out if they don't have a resume in hand, and just have a quick conversation with them, that really helps us know like who they are. And that kind of takes that next level of, if it's not all in your resume, and you can kind of put yourself past the finish line by showing up in person, just once, not several times, but once, and to come in and just drop in and see us. Cold call also, the calling and asking for myself or just the HR department. Everybody knows to put them through, and just a quick chat. But I would take any interested parties by phone, walk in, or applying online, however.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for saying that. Because I find a lot of times people, my son was actually just recently looking for work, and he would go in and they say, no, just go apply online. And I was sad to hear that, because I feel like that is such an important skill to be able to walk in and have those conversations.
And sell yourself, like you're presenting yourself and marketing yourself. So the best thing to do is to do that in person too. That definitely helps. Well, that's too bad.
Jody, you let us know that you do have 58 people employed here in Canada. Is there anywhere, any part of the company where someone is required to speak French?
No, not currently. All of our clients and buyers all have English speaking buyers. So we haven't ever been forced to have anybody that can speak only French on staff.
So I had a question, and I think different Canadian employers would interpret this differently, but I think it's beneficial for any newcomers listening to know. Do you think there's certain, I call it the Canadian workplace culture. Are there things as a Canadian employer that you expect to see that maybe newcomers from different, you know, countries, cultures might not be aware that this is sort of what some of the, you know, unseen things that you just learn on the job, or you don't learn and maybe you don't get the job, you know, like, for example, when I think of Canadian culture, I think of communication is huge, you know, talking with everyone, you know, your boss isn't, you know, unapproachable. They're at the same level. You should be able to talk to them, you know, talking with your coworkers, things like that. Are there anything that you as a Canadian employer would say are sort of expectations that you have?
For our culture here in
In terms of, you know, when you think of Canadian workplace culture, what do you think of?
Well, we actually we gear a lot of our actions and our culture and the way that we do things here at Ritz. We center it around, we've got five core values here at Ritz. So it's hard work, teamwork, respect, focus, and integrity. So we apply that to everything that our employees do. So it is how they relate to each other, how they relate to management, how they produce the product and the parts for our customers. And we really, it's possible that, you know, somebody's coming from another country where they didn't focus on a lot of interaction between each other, or they're just there working, doing their job, and then going home. But we focus a lot on those five core values. Our performance reviews are geared around core values, and people are part of their work performance is just how they work with each other. So we try and have people, when especially newcomers, that they're tasked with reading the manual, understanding the core values, knowing that the performance review is geared towards those core values and how they take those core values and apply it to their every day here at Ritz.
Jody, I think you actually demonstrated what we were going to ask for you for an example, and it was for that gentleman who got it was, I think, two or three different promotions, and you had provided him the resource manual that he asked for, his hard work. And so all of that is your core values at Ritz. And that really reflects that. And that example was really perfect for you to give. And I've been at Ritz, and I feel like you guys display that.
And I think you said, like you said too, it just being open to learn, right? You have your core values. Those are the expectations. So then being willing to embrace those, and that's how you get better and you learn, and being open to, it might've been done differently somewhere else, but this is how we do it here, and being open to that.
Yes.
Hey, Jody, at Move Rural Canada, we always want to get to know the company, but specifically the person a little bit better. So if you can give us somewhere that a person, if they were coming to Dauphin, what activities they can participate in, maybe somewhere they can go eat. We'd love to hear your advice.
Oh, wow. I would start with a tour through the Northgate Trails. I think that is now Dauphin's best kept secret. We actually just had an employee function up there, a barbecue, and brought up all of our employees up there to try out the fat bikes and go on the trails and stuff. And a lot of people had never been up there. So definitely tell people to go to Northgate Trails. And then swing by Karina's restaurant for a really good burger. So that's a locally owned restaurant here in Dauphin. I would definitely tell somebody to do that. And then if you're here in the winter, catch a Kings game. We have a junior A hockey club here in Dauphin. And I'm a proud supporter of the Dauphin Kings. So I would definitely encourage people to come out and support them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that would be a full day.
Well, thank you so much, Jody, for coming on today. Listeners, we're going to have all the links and connections at the bottom in our show notes. So if you want to reach out, you want to learn more about Dauphin, all those types of things, we'll have them there. So thank you once again, Jody. Thank you, everyone, for coming in to listen.
Thank you very much.
Until next time, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.